What do you reckon that noise is?
The Australasian bittern is a strange and mysterious water bird. The booming call of males, given during the breeding season, helped give rise to legends of the mythical bunyip. Today, they're one of Australia's most endangered species. Finding them is hard and takes a lot of patience.
The landowners around the rice-growing regions in the Riverina in southern New South Wales have been hearing that call for quite a while now, the call of Australia's mythical monster, the bunyip, for a long time. But it's also the call of what is known as the bunyip bird, the bittern. Across the other side of the country in southwest WA and in parts of Tasmania, there's a similar eerie booming call in the wetlands. It's actually the call of the male bittern, an endangered and quirky bird that ecologists have unexpectedly discovered in abundance in the southern rice paddy fields, and agriculture is providing its habitat. Matt Herring is an ecologist who is presiding over the marriage between bittern conservation and farming food crops. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Nicole.
So how did the bittern morph into Australia's most famous mythical monster?
Well, I suppose people, you know, thousands of years ago, Indigenous people in Australia walking around swamps, and a couple of hundred years ago, the early settlers heard this very deep, stirring, resonant sound coming out of the swamps, out of the wetlands.
Scary and, sound.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And it helped continue those tales that there was a mythical creature in the swamps. So, yes, it's been labelled the bunyip bird. It's an incredible sound. You can hear those booming males for up to 2 kilometres on a still summer evening.
And you don't just hear the sound, do you? You can actually feel it. It's like a bass amp.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yes. A bird watcher I know well, he described it perfectly. It's not just a sound that you hear. It's one that you feel in your body, like being in front of a set of really good speakers. And, you know, for example, when I've been standing there on the edge of a rice field, and there's one booming, you know, within 20 or 30 metres of me, it really does run through your body.
Why should we care about the bittern?
Well, I think on top of being an absolutely beautiful bird species, they're an important part of our heritage. The Riverina has always been a stronghold for them, and now we've worked out that the rice fields are explicitly part of that stronghold. I think we should care about them just because they're a beautiful bird to have out in the landscape.
How many still exist?
Look, traditionally, like over the last decade or two, the estimates for the total Australian population have been around 2,500. But at the end of the millennium drought, so, you know, 2009, 2010, the lowest estimate on record emerged of just 250 to 800 birds.
And why are they making rice fields their new residence?
Well, each spring when these rice fields are created, these agricultural wetlands, if you like, they basically provide ideal habitat. Bitterns love to hide. They're a very sneaky bird, and that's why it's so hard to find them. And, you know, essentially, these rice crops are surrogate wetlands, and they have the right water depths, they have the cover in the form of the rice plants, and, of course, there's lots of frogs and yabbies and other things in there that the bitterns love to feed on.
So sounds like a perfect place to live.
Absolutely, yes. And there's a lot of other animals in there as well. So it's this really interesting situation where you're producing food and creating a beautiful wetland at the same time.
Except, of course, when it's cropping time and a harvester appears on the horizon. How do they handle that?
Well, we were a bit worried that they mightn't have time to breed successfully, but this past season that has just finished, we were able to find four nests out in the rice crops, and that was a wonderful thing to confirm that not only are they in there in big numbers in the rice crops, but they're also in there breeding. And they did have plenty of time to breed successfully. So the incubation of the eggs is 3 weeks or so, and then the chicks need another roughly 7 or 8 weeks before they can fly. And there is ample time. So by the time those harvesters are in there stripping the crop, the chicks have already fledged and...
Everyone's gone.
Yes.
How very handy. In fact, John Hand is a rice grower. John Hand, good morning.
Good morning, Nicole.
You've been growing rice for a long time now. How are you dealing with your new residents?
Well, we're very excited about them. Their presence is proving that the rice fields are a great ecology area for them, and yes, it was quite exciting to have them breeding on our farm.
Does Matt give a good description of their call? It's it can be a little unnerving.
Yes, well, first time I heard it, I was puzzled. Unfortunately, I wasn't up close to it, and it took me a while to work out what it was. But yeah, once we worked that out, it was hard to find a bit and to see it doing it. But
because they just appear from nowhere, don't they? They pop their heads up and then they take off.
As Matt said, they're very stealthy. They'll be walking around in a rice crop and you can pull up alongside and all you'll see is the tip of their beak and their eye watching you, see what you're doing. They're not actually particularly shy birds. You can get fairly close to them, but it's finding them in the first place that's a hard problem.
There is a view amongst some, John, that conservation and farming are, you know, natural enemies. Have you had to change your management to accommodate them?
No, I've always aerial sown, which makes the environment probably the most friendly environment for a bittern. And no, I'm just doing what I've always done. And I've always been, for quite some time, I've been aware that they've been in the rice crops. But it was about 3 years ago I spotted a pair of them standing on a bank sunning themselves. And that sight has very rarely been observed. So I rushed home, grabbed a camera and took a photo of them and set the ball rolling. I contacted Andrew Silcox from Birds Australia, and from there he got in touch with the Rice Growers Association, and we formed this alliance and took advantage of a positive spin on rice growing that not very readily recognised.
Because you get a lot of bad press about the use of water, the wide use of water. Do you think that this is an opportunity for you to turn around some of that bad press?
Oh, absolutely. And that was as soon as I got on the internet and with this photo, I discovered that Andrew Silcox from Birds Australia was looking for reports of bitterns. I pretty much came to the conclusion then there was a chance to get some good PR out about rice growing, as previously there'd been plenty of negative. So it's we're actually producing a better environment, or as good or better environment than they previously had.
What about the use of sprays and fertilisers, etc.? How does that impact on them?
Well, it doesn't seem to worry them. We had bitterns on our block near the house this year, and the day before I heard the first male booming, we'd had the plane over top dressing the rice, so he obviously wasn't particularly upset by that fact, but it doesn't seem to worry them.
Ecologist Matt Herring, I described you as presiding over the marriage between bittern conservation and farming. As I said, we often consider farming and nature conservation as separate pursuits. How do you feel about being the marriage celebrant, bringing them all together?
That's an interesting way to put it. No, I'm quite comfortable with that title. bringing those two things together, I think, just makes so much sense. And this Bitterns in Rice project, I think, is a great example of how that can happen. So we know we need to produce food for our world population of 7 billion, and every day there's an additional 200,000 or so mouths to feed, and we need more and more of it. So if we can produce food in ways that support biodiversity, you know, threatened species like the Australasian bittern, then that really is a win-win and a very happy and healthy marriage.
John Hand, is there anything that rice growers should do who may be listening to the program to help conserve the birds' habitats?
If they get in contact with Neil Bull from Rice Growers Association, he's prepared a bit of information that might help. But generally speaking, if they just manage their programs the way they have been, the bitterns will select the areas that are favourable. And I think there's more than enough rice crops out there to host all the bitterns that are in the district.
And Matt, just before I let you go, where do the birds go after they fly the coop?
Well, it's a question that we're trying to answer. This morning we've just found one in a very large swamp in the Leeton area, and earlier this week we found some in a Kumbungi-filled channel and also on a creek line that has lots of those tall water plants. So it looks like that at least some of the population stays here in the Riverina and waits until the rice emerges again in spring.
Why is it important for you to know where they go? Have you actually instituted some sort of tagging program?
Not yet. We're looking to see. It's possible that there's some movements toward the coast, and we haven't tagged any birds yet, but what we're doing now, if these numbers that we get over winter and spring, if they drop come December and January when the rice is going again, then we can just make the reasonable inference that they're the birds moving into the rice. So it's very interesting. For all we know, they might migrate to Tasmania or something, and we're yet to learn
about everybody?
It. Sorry?
Isn't everybody?
Yes, they are. Yes, but no, it's very exciting, Nicole. We've got a lot to learn and we're slowly piecing together the jigsaw puzzle, but it's a great thing to have this endangered bird using these agricultural wetlands.
Great to talk to you. Matt Herring, thank you so much. John Hand, rice grower, thank you so much. You're listening to Nicole Chavastek on Bush Telegraph.